Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, as you're probably aware, Electric Picnic is on this weekend, and I'm delighted now to be joined by one of the roster of top-notch dance music DJs playing at it, Nevin Maguire. You're very welcome.
Good morning. Who writes these scripts? I love it.
So, Nevin, are you nervous about wait, 5 o'clock today, is
yeah,
it?
5 o'clock. Yeah. I'm cooking a couple of dishes and I have my vinyl all packed in the car and I'm ready to rock and roll. Yeah.
Okay, oh, so you'll do a few recipes
oh,
first.
Yeah, I'm going to cook and I'm going to mix, so it's mixed in the kitchen in real term.
Very good, right.
I'm excited, I am.
Now, you like your music, your dance music, quite hard at times, don't you?
Yeah.
Will you be easing back for them today?
I'll start off nice and gently and then I'll build it up and it'll be like a little roller coaster.
Excellent.
So, yeah, okay. I have about 200 records in the car. Right. But I've been collecting since 1992. Yeah. So I've always loved the tunes, so it's always been dance music. But music has played a big part in my life.
Yeah, and in between picking out your set list for today, you have picked 5 songs for us.
We have, thank you.
A lot to you in your life. And people can relax, it's not all hardcore.
No, it's not. Don't switch off the radio.
Detroit techno. Was it a musical house growing up, Nevin?
Yeah, Mum and Dad were big into music, and Dad, I suppose, traditional music. There would have been, and my sisters too, because there's 9 of my family, there would have been all very good singers. You know, my brother Kenneth, he played in a band, Boxty, great drummer, fantastic drummer. And then my oldest sisters, or the 4 sisters, they were very good singers. So they were, so music definitely grew up listening to them singing, Mum and Dad going to dances and different things like that. So it was lovely to see that, definitely. And even for me growing up, like when I was prepping as a chef in the kitchen, you'd be playing music, so you would. So it kind of got you going and got you motivated for work and service and that.
So the trad initially then, and then I presume as all the 9 of you started hitting teenage years at various times, did pop
and,
music come into the
and
house?
It kind of went away. I remember my sister Sonia and Sharon begins The Cure and Morrissey and that, and going down
right,
to the door
yeah.
into the discos there, and that gothic look, you know, I remember all that. And yeah, good.
Did
good
you never got into The Cure and Morrissey and that? No,
never, like,
I say that miserable side of life. You've no interest in it, do you?
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't dislike, I just never got into it, I suppose. When you connect with some type of music, which was dance music for me from the age of 14, 15, it just took me away and just, I loved it. Maybe it was the energy of the kitchen and the prep and just the energy, like when you're getting ready for service, you know, you're prepping and you're focusing on what you have to do, but it's kind of a high pace, high energy. So
yeah,
and
rhythm as well.
Rhythm, that's
a rhythm.
Exactly,
to it, isn't
exactly.
There?
Yeah,
you are
sure.
a creature of the rhythm, I guess, in the kitchen.
That's
as
a
well.
Beautiful thing. I'm going to coach you. Thank you.
And so your parents had the business at that stage, right?
Yeah.
And MacNean House. And was it rooms and a restaurant?
So they bought the business in 1965, and I think it was about £1,000, which was a lot of money that time. And right on the border of Calf and Fermanagh, a small little rural village, Black Lion, about maybe 200-300 people living there. And then we closed from 73 to 89. The house, the front of the house was bombed twice during the Troubles. They were really tough times. Like when you looked outside our restaurant, there was 59 guards there. There was customs around the corner. There was soldiers. So it was bleak time. No one really wanted to go near the border. So we closed and Mum done kind of like dinner party, dinner dances, B&B, that kind of thing. And then when we reopened in 1989, I started taking an interest, you know, because like I knew I wanted to be a chef from the age of 12. I was the first boy to do home economics in Manor Hamlet. And I knew cooking was my life, but I got it from my mum, and that's where I got the love of food. And we all grew up eating very well. Mum would have grown a lot of her own produce, and she, I suppose, you know, from farm to fork, is just seeing that experience. And she would have cooked everything from scratch. Like, she was a great cook. She really was a wonderful woman.
Come here. Why was it bombed?
Was the UVF a car bomb just out the front of the house twice. No one was injured, thank God. But 73, so I was only a baby. I can't even remember, you know, to be honest with you. But there were tough times. I mean, it's changed so much now. People come to me, you know, said, I can't believe you're right on the border. You wouldn't even realise it only for your phone signal change. If you're coming from Dublin, you'll come through probably Fermanagh and that. So, it's just they were
Did
tough
times.
Did
your parents think of leaving?
Yes.
Yeah.
Many times. We looked at different businesses and different properties, and then I was lucky. I got a break in television called Open House with Marty Whelan and Mary Kennedy, and I loved that. And word got out there, and I started winning different awards. We struggled
but
at the start.
Before that time, like when they have nine kids there and the place is being bombed and everything, they must have like been living in fear, were they?
Oh, absolutely. Well, in fear, and then the business was very inconsistent. Brendan, some days you might do 10 people, 20 people, some days you do nobody. So it was really inconsistent. And we did have a cafe for a few years in Sligo, and it was in the Yates building. It was lovely. So mum and dad travelled in there. I would have done a lot of the prep at home. My sister Naomi would have worked in that too. And unfortunately, my dad was killed in a road accident. Somebody fell asleep and ran into him coming out of Sligo and Glencar. And that changed my focus. And I suppose I really wanted to focus in the restaurant. I just couldn't do both. And then the business got a little bit, gradually it got better and better. It's not the model it is now. We're 36 years open. It's been an incredible journey, to be honest with you. And I never forget the bad days to appreciate the good days. I think that's really important. You know, new staff, you know, they come and they say, God, we're always busy. But there's one woman working for us for nearly 50 years and she's seen it all. She has seen the changes. And, you know, we're blessed to have staff like that, you know, to see how business is growing and its consistence. And to be at home where you live and where you grow up, I'm really proud of that. I love where I live. I do. It's quite a part of the world.
Okay, I want to come back to some of those things, but let's take a music choice. Now, your first music choice today is an unlikely one. Tina Turner, We Don't Need Another Hero.
There's a story to this. I suppose when I was when I went in the first year, I actually got very sick and I was in hospital in Sligo for 2 weeks. And then I was in Crumlin Hospital for about 3 months. And my brother Kenneth, I mentioned, he played in a band and he loved Tina Turner. And I had this little mini cassette player. Now, this tiny little, people listening might know what a cassette player is, but I recorded some of her music and I just thought she was an amazing artist. And I used to listen to her every night in hospital, most nights, play it beside me, myself. And that's what it means. It just brings back
homesickness. Like, was it something from home, like a bit that when you were there on your own?
Yeah, it was lonesome, especially in Dublin. Mum and Dad, like, we were closed, obviously, on a Sunday to come up with all the family. There was nine of my family. Imagine putting all of them into the car and coming up and visiting me. And I suppose I was.
So they came once a week.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. And you know what they used to bring me? Bless them, Kinder eggs. Oh, I love them. You know the wee Kinder eggs with the wee toys in the middle?
Yeah.
And they'd bring me about 10 or 12 of them, so I'd scoff every one of them and that kept me going. I suppose I was so long in hospital at that time, I went to school there actually, so I did for a little while, maybe 2 days a week. But it's Tina Turner that stuck to me, and a little cassette player, I can still visualise it. You know, she's an amazing artist, and I just thought, wow, that kind of got me through that really sad time in my life.
Okay, what a picture. Okay, here's Nevin McGuire's first choice, Tina Turner, We Don't Need Another Hero.
We are the children, the last generation. We are the ones they left behind. And I wonder when we are ever gonna change. Living under the fear till nothing. We don't need another hero. We don't need to know the way home. All we want is what we are.
Now, that's Tina Turner, We Don't Need Another Hero, and that's Nevin McGuire's first song choice today.
What a lady.
And stick with us, because these song choices are it's an eclectic bunch. So you went to school then in the hospital in Crumlin for a while. When you went back into school then, was it difficult? Like, sometimes when people have an extended illness like that as a child, it can be difficult to get back into
it. It was, and I'd repeat a year. And I'm a twin, so my twin brother went on and I said, oh God, we're going to be separated, and we're very close. He was obviously far more intelligent than me, but I stayed back a year. You know what? It was one of the best things happened to me, truthfully, because I knuckled down and I started studying. I suppose first year in school, I didn't take it very serious. I loved home economics. I struggled at maths, struggled at Irish, really did struggle. And
were you the only boy who did home economics?
I was the first
school?
Boy. Yeah, I'm the only boy. And my teacher there, Mairead McMorrow, she was incredibly good to me. And I remember, Brendan, I remember because Soane was part of the subjects that you were doing in home economics. But I remember making a shirt once that it was so bad. Mom and Dad used it to polish glasses in the restaurant. I kid you not. But I loved.
Did you get a hard time?
Yeah.
Being the boy, yeah.
I did. I got called sissy and people used to write things on my folders and different things like that.
They wrote what? Write what?
Pimp's eye shrimp and sissy and different things like that.
Okay. Yeah, you can laugh now, but I'd say at the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose, do you know, I just really enjoyed it. And she kind of took me under her wing. It was great being with all the girls. They were so nice to me. And as I say, like, just it was about the food. But
there was only one winner there. You were in there with all the girls. You were doing what you love.
Kind of through mixed school.
And the lads are writing stuff on copybooks.
But Brendan, isn't there a bigger picture when it comes to home economics? And I'm kind of sidetracking that every young person should do it.
Yeah.
It's such great life skills.
Yeah,
I think it's a really important subject. And I never forget, because I wrote a book, Home Economics for Life, but I dedicated it to my home economics teacher, Mairead McMorrow. She was an incredible woman.
And in the meantime then, so you said you were 14 getting into dance music.
Yes.
Did you start DJing then as a teenager a bit? Yeah,
probably 16, 17. Okay, so the restaurant was kind of quiet. So on a Wednesday and a Saturday night, there was a nightclub in Enniskillen. Enniskillen's only 20 minutes from us. And I wasn't driving at the time, so Dad would bring me and my twin in. So I'd play for the last hour in a nightclub. It was quite a big nightclub called Mirage. It was about 2,000 or 3,000 people. It was a big... So I'd play for the last hour. So it would be all vinyl, bring that in with me, play a few tunes and just have the crack.
Okay.
I loved it.
Your dad obviously thought this was a wholesome enough activity that he was driving you into.
My dad is amazing.
Play at raves.
He probably said it was a racket in the kitchen. And you see, at this time, we had two identical twins in the kitchen, Noel and Ian McGorty. And the only way we could tell them, because they both wore skull caps, we put a letter at the back of their name. But we used to do this dance at the end of the night called the Funky Chicken. And it was so much fun. It was innocent times. And then we'd go in, because I'd be in probably at 11:30, because the restaurant finished early. It wasn't that busy. And on a Wednesday, as I say, on a Saturday night, there were the nights that I played. And it was for the last hour. Got in free, typical Cavan man, but absolutely loved the whole fun of it and the experience. And then about once a month, once every 2 or 3 weeks, I'd come up in the bus to Dublin and buy all my vinyl in Power Music, which was my very first vinyl that I ever got, Felix, Don't You Want My Love, and then also in Abidis. And then when I worked in Germany, Luxembourg, I got a bit of trance and different things, but I always kept collecting it, so I did.
Gas,
you're laughing at this.
And Camir, was it your parents gave you the love of food and hospitality and feeding people and all that as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, they welcomed, you know, a stranger to their home, part of their family, and I think that's where I got it, and I loved. I knew from the age of 12 I wanted to be a chef, you know, and all my family worked in the business, but none of them said, oh no, it's too hard, or they wanted to go their own way. But we do have a real appreciation for looking after people and being kind to them.
It's an interesting way you put it, bringing strangers into your home.
Well, that's it.
That's what it is.
I think that's it. And that's always been our ethos from a family business. We have 60 people employed in Black Lion, and we're only as good as the team that we have. And I suppose I've seen so many changes, but even since COVID, our business has even changed again, that we do one sitting. We close on a Sunday, you know, and a Monday. And, we have nice holidays, 2 weeks of Christmas just there in June. We'd have planned that 2 years ahead. So the staff come first, you know, and we're very, very lucky. When you do one sitting, it's nice, and you're busy for a few hours, but it's nice and relaxed. It's not the rush that it used to be before COVID, like, you know, two sittings. That's stressful. So it is. Turning tables is stressful, definitely.
Yeah. So your second song choice, I think, is for your parents, Vera and Joe, and it's Billy Joel, Lullaby. Why this?
Yeah, I listened to this after Mum died in particular. Like, we had a family WhatsApp, and my sister, I hadn't heard of the song, and my sister sent in the family WhatsApp, and I listened to it. It could have been 20, 30 times, and it just made me cry so much. I wear my heart on my sleeve and get a bit emotional now, but it's a beautiful song. I just think, even watching him in the video and the way he plays the piano, what a talented artist again. But to me, it reminds me of my mum and dad, I think. Yeah.
So how old were you when your dad was killed?
So dad has passed away nearly 30 years now, so he is. And mum coming up to 10 years. So it's been an emotional journey, because I had a great relationship with my parents. And
I never met your dad, but you were so close to Vera, and she was a fantastic woman.
She was a real...
It must have been very hard for her being left widowed.
I was.
So young with...
Do you know, she had great fate. And that's one thing about mum. She had great fate. And, you know, she kind of, shall I say, she kind of flourished around the family. And she had a very freak accident a few years after that dad passed away. She was walking across the road in Enniskillen, and a wheel come off a car, hit her in the back of the head. And was really, really seriously, was in a coma for nearly 2 or 3 weeks. So it was really, really, really...
My God.
She had a freak accident. You couldn't make it up, Brendan. And we were all shocked. She was lucky to be alive. And if it had hit her head face on the wheel, she would have been killed. But she came out of that, and do you know what? She kind of left the business then, because the noise of the kitchen drove her mad. She was quite a bit of medication, but she was still so caring and so thoughtful. And, you know, and hopefully we try and carry that on for her, because they were just great parents. Yeah. And it must be really tough.
And
for
she,
her.
You were all close, weren't you? You were very close to Vera, and she really enjoyed you, didn't she?
We had a great. I mean, like a great memories, you know. And I just saw the way. One thing she always taught me, you know, to treat staff like family. You know, we'll all have good and bad days, but the good days will outweigh the bad days. And that's what one thing I look at. And that song just reminds me of the two of them. I think it's a beautiful, special song, and I hope I don't cry.
Okay, so this is for Joe and Vera. This is Billy Joel, Lullaby, Goodnight, My Angel.
Goodnight, my angel, time to close your eyes and save these questions for another day. I think I know what you've been asking me. I think you know what I've been trying to say. I promised I would never leave you, and you should always know. Wherever you may go, no matter where you are, I never will be far away.
I stopped the lights. Wow. Billy Joel, Lullaby, Goodnight, My Angel. And Nevin McGuire picked that for his parents, Joe and Vera.
And the tears
in
my eyes.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, Nevin, you don't get where you are in the world now without being tough in ways, but you're a very soft fella too, aren't you?
No, it's not being tough. It's about being fair. And I mean, like, I worked in kitchens and I saw some level of abuse that I didn't like. Like, I worked in a Michelin star restaurant and this chef made this girl cry every night. And I said, it's not the way to treat people. You know, so you learn, first of all, you learn from your parents, I think so. And that's what I learned to treat my staff. And as I say, you're not going to hold on to staff if you don't look after them. You know, we'll all have bad days, but good days.
See, there is that view of, I suppose it's maybe an old style one now, of the chef has to be kind of, you know, tough and hard on people and all that kind of thing.
Like, I worked in a two Michelin star in Luxembourg, and this woman made me cry many days. And, you know, she gave out to me, give me a bollock. And one time I was cooking apples and I was putting salt instead of sugar. Brendan, can you imagine? So listen, yeah, you hold up your hands, and then she apologised to me. But just, I don't like that. And I think it's definitely changed. Definitely the kitchen culture has changed. And if we want to hold on to staff and look after our team, it has to change, and it has changed. And it definitely, for me, I see it. I've been in a lot more kitchens now, even doing the television shows and different things like that. But a lot of chefs would say that definitely the culture has changed, because there was a time that it was okay, but it's never been okay. You know, I mean, my job, when I told you in Roscoff, was sawing bones for stock, scrubbing the cooker tops. All the chefs, kind of the student chefs, came in at 9:30, left at 3:30. I was there to learn. I want to stay at 11 o'clock. Yeah. And then I asked the chef for a reference, and he said, who the hell do you think you are? You're never going to make it as a chef. That made me so determined, because I just knew food was my life. And, you know, I always...
But having worked in all those like high-end places around the world and everything, and you know, you won prizes from very young and that, presumably you would have had options out in very glamorous, exciting places and everything. Why come back to Blackline?
Well, first of all, it was my home. So I got a job offer once to open up an Irish restaurant, Chelsea Football Club. First of all, I support Man United. And I always have from the age of 15, 14, 15. And I politely declined. But I did get them a head chef from Galway. And then I was offered to go to work in the Irish embassy in Luxembourg and open a restaurant in Dublin. But I always believed home is where the heart was, and that's where I wanted to stay. And even though the business was chucking away and struggling, and I always believed, no, we're going to try and make this work. Determination, hard work, and just building a good team around you, I think that they're the essence. And do one and do it right. I have no intention or ambition of opening up other restaurants. People say, will you put your name to this?
You could have a chain of pasta places with your name in it.
Definitely not.
Whatever,
you'll never see that. Hopefully not.
Okay, and your next music choice is for your staff at MacNean House, I think. Radio Gaga by Queen. Why this one?
There's a lovely story. So the chefs, we kind of pool our tips, and we've been to Rome, we've been to Barcelona, we've been to Edinburgh, London. Whenever we went to London, we'd usually go to Royal Hospital Road, Gordon Ramsay's flagship restaurant, 3 Michelin star. And we'd pool our tips, and that would pay for the flights, accommodation. Now, we would sleep in the travel lodge. We'd be sleeping in any Savoy or the...
Okay, or, the money is for the food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And then we went to this, to We Will Rock You, Queen, and we went to it 3 or 4 times. It's a musical, and I just think they're amazing artists. And I watched the movie, and it just brought back so many great memories. So it was about food, but it was also about bonding, bringing people together. And I just thought, wow, what an amazing artist.
Okay, Nevin McGuire's third choice today, Queen, Radio Gaga. Queen, Radio Gaga, and that's Nevin McGuire's third music choice today. Nevin, do you enjoy being in the public eye?
Oh, I love people.
Yeah.
It's funny when you're out kind of shopping, people might come and say, you know, they might bring up a butternut squash or a celeriac or something, said, how would you cook that? What is that? Or I just love people. I find people good fun. You could be walking down the street and say, how are you, Nevin? What's for dinner? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's great fun.
Yeah.
It is.
So it's more like they know you rather than that you're somebody famous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But then, no, I did see you mention recently in an interview that the flip side of that, that people thinking they know you is, and look, I've got it myself down the years as well as I've fluctuated, they'll make comments about your weight.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
And it's usually men, Brendan. And I've struggled. Yeah, definitely. Definitely it is. And particularly when you're in the restaurant, you have the chef's whites on and you have the apron. And the odd man might tap your tummy and say, oh, you're eating too much of your own food. But you know what? Sometimes it kind of, I would say, oh, that's not a nice way to welcome anyone. I would kind of pull them up. But it did kind of irritate me a wee bit. Hasn't happened in a long time. So it kind of made me realise a few things. That first of all, that I do need to look after my weight, and I have struggled. I'm not going to lie, I try and exercise, but it's my diet. I was eating too late at night and eating rubbish, and I kind of on a low carb, low sugar diet, and it's always a struggle because I love food. It's my life.
Yeah.
And even though you have to taste things, like instead of using a big tablespoon or dessert spoon, it's a little espresso spoon, so you can still, you have to, it's my job, it's what I do. But it's very interesting, people, the reaction, like, and then if their wife was there or partner or whatever like that, they'd say, oh, don't say that to Nevin. No, that's, they'd pull them up straight away, and they'd always apologise. But for me, it's, I know there was no harm in it, but it's just not a nice thing to say to
Yeah,
people.
I don't I think people so. mean it
I agree.
Badly, but
I do agree.
Possibly,
I do agree. And yeah, I kind of make a joke.
We're all having a rethink about those
yeah,
kind
I'd
of
always
things.
Say, oh, Brendan, it's the widescreen TV. I'd be joking like that, yeah, different yeah, things like that. Yeah, you know yourself.
Yeah. And how are your secret weapon, your wife Imelda and the twins?
They're all good. They're actually back at school this week, so they are. Gone into second year, and they're both doing home economics, which is great, enjoying school. They're very different as twins, because I have a twin boy, but a boy and a girl. Lucie is very focused, very organised. Connor said he wants to be a chef. He loves Gaelic. He loves soccer. He's just very, very different. Lucie is great at making little jewellery, which we sell in the restaurant. Just she makes it herself, and them bacon and that. But they love their food. It's
so fantastic. Will Connor take over MacNean?
God, I hope so.
Say
a prayer, hopefully. Imelda's all the lovely decor in the restaurant, and we're a great team. And I'm very lucky to have someone who supports me. And, you know, not alone are we best friends, but, you know, to have a family around us. And with the twins, I suppose it slowed me down, to be honest with you, because I was on the road too much before the twins came along. I was coming and going, and I remember coming back from a demonstration in Cork, and my eyes were closed, and I said, this is crazy. Just cop on, Nevin. Now, you need to just slow down a little bit. You have a young family now, and it's the best thing ever happened.
So you're paying attention to some other things in life now,
definitely,
besides work.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's probably never been better, to be honest with you. I think
really?
I have a great balance.
And the lockdown then it changed things for
big time.
In regards to work.
It changed everything,
balance,
Brendan. Yeah. And I suppose it changed our business, but it changed also for the staff and for family. Closing on a Sunday, that was a big call within the business. So we used to open every Sunday, close Monday, Tuesday. Now having a family day off on a Sunday, it's a game changer for our staff. Really, truthfully, that's why we did it. And I love it because my father-in-law, Brian, comes down. So I always do a roast dinner, and we'd watch football or play football with Connor, or go out and spin the tunes. I'd go out and play my vinyl a Sunday evening. So I kind of have a lovely routine, you know, and it's lovely to do that.
Yeah. So you get the decks out on your own in the evening?
Oh, yeah, they're always there.
Yeah.
So I just run out. So I just live behind kind of just the studio behind where I've all my vinyl and everything. And we have no neighbours, so we're not annoying anyone, which is great.
Okay.
And go out, because I can lose myself playing music for a few hours, and I just put them up on my Instagram and a bit of TikTok. And it's a bit of fun, but I kind of just something outside food, and I just really enjoy it. There's a sound, and there's just a noise and a beautiful sound from vinyl that is just special. Just captures me, so it does. I love it.
So where does your next choice then fit into this? U2 and Beautiful Day.
Well, I said twin brother. I haven't been to many concerts. U2 have been twice, one at the Three Arena and also in Croke Park. And I've been with my twin brother, David. And I just thought they're such an iconic band. One of their songs, Beautiful Day, of course. I love soccer, so that was the signature tune for the soccer and for the Premiership. But I just think they really are an amazing world class band, and I just think it brings back good memories with me having a Saturday night off with my twin brother, and that doesn't happen too often.
The other things in life besides work. Absolutely.
Okay,
Nevin's fourth choice, U2, Beautiful Day.
is a blow. Shoots up through the stony ground, but there's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day to let it get away on the road.
You too, beautiful day. Nevin McGuire's fourth choice today, and I suppose it's just about smelling the roses, isn't it, Nevin?
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Brilliant.
So the dance music then, was it Imelda kind of spurred on your dance music revival during lockdown? Because that's when most people became aware that you had like thousands of records and knew your way around a tune.
In one word, yes. I remember every Friday night we were closed off for COVID for a very long time, listening to Deck Pierce. I said, God, I have that. All my vinyl lay up in the attic. My decks, my turntables, my Technics. My mum and dad got me for my 21st birthday. There were £900 sterling and a little mid-fade mixer. So Imelda sent the whole lot away to get revamped. Got new needles, new mixer, a lovely Pioneer DJ mixer, and then that's the rest is history. And it took...
Okay.
I took
every wife in the country has a version of that now. Mine kicked me out the door and said, do the coach to 5K because you're driving yourself crazy and you're going to drive me crazy. Imelda got the decks reconditioned.
I'm in the studio.
Keep you sane.
But I love it. And I always thought, oh, I'd love to go back playing them. And I must have said it to her a few times. Truthfully, I didn't know it was going to happen. And it's just reinvigorated or just it's just lovely to play the vinyl again. It's just so much fun. And to think that my mum and dad, while they were alive, got me them, like they're the same decks that I played for my 21st birthday that we had it in Black Lion. It's just
amazing.
Class. I love it. Yeah.
So come here. Yeah. So you've clubbed around the world as well. Berlin.
Hold on. Club, yes.
Yeah.
I worked in Berlin.
Berlin would have a reputation for kind of hardcore, intense clubbing, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And techno too at the time. Some of that stuff was a little bit too hard for me. They had the Love Parade in Berlin and then they had this nightclub called Tresor, which was very well-known.
Yeah.
So I worked in the Grand Hotel in East Berlin. There was 125 chefs in the kitchen. And the very first day they opened up the door, it was meat, Irish meat and Irish lamb. They were just loved Irish. So they would have bought me to some of the clubs. And that's where I would have went out. There was 15 of us went from Ireland, bakers, butchers. I was the only chef. So we were there in a kind of training program. So I was there for 3 months. So Berlin and them also in Luxembourg when I worked, I got some trance vinyl there. So I did in Luxembourg. So
and I'm going large every night. Very good.
Not every night I was working, but yeah, the night's off, definitely.
Yeah. Well, we work hard, play hard
at
that
age. I like
be able for it. Yeah. Your final choice is a Dance Floor classic. You mentioned this earlier, Felix, Don't You Want Me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. It was my very first record. As I said, I used to get the bus up every maybe 2 to 3 weeks. I spent all my wages on cookbooks and vinyl. And I went into a record shop in Temple Bar. It's no longer open, Power Music. And Alison was the lady there. And I remember listening to this. I didn't know what it was. I said, I'm going to get that. I think it was about 10 punts I paid for it at the time.
Yeah.
1992.
Yeah.
Absolutely brings back some great memories. And it's just lovely
so
to hear.
So this was your gateway into it all.
Yeah, this is it.
Nevin, your new TV show, Nevin's Ulster Food Tour, starts on Wednesday on RT1 at 8:30 p.m. You know, people talk about cosy crime, but there is nothing more cosy than sitting down and watching you around. Like, I like when you go abroad, but when you're around Ireland, I'm thinking, am I interested in this? And then, like, you're around and you might go to an oyster hatchery or whatever. You might go into a smokery, off to a restaurant, a fella cooks. It's real kind of zen, relaxing kind of TV. But I think the thing that carries it is you love it, don't you?
I do.
You love being out and about.
I always say I have the best job in the world. And to be honest with you, you meet some amazing people. So this new programme is all based in Ulster, because I'm from Ulster. So it's fantastic. We start off in Black Lion. I go to my old head chef who was with me for 15 years, Glenn Wheeler, and he's based in Enniskillen. So it's a lovely tour, and hopefully we plan to do it in Connacht, Munster, do the whole of Ireland. And it's just a lovely, for me, I feel really privileged to be able to meet some incredible people, food producers, some amazing chefs, because we're in a great kind of like crest of a wave when it comes to food in Ireland. We have some amazing produce and I just love it. I learned so much, but I have so much fun. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, look, we're very lucky, as you say, and you're a great champion of all Irish producers and chefs and everything else. Okay, Nevin McGuire, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Good luck later on at the Electric Picnic.
Thank you.
We'll finish up now on your final music choice today. Felix, Don't You Want Me. Thanks, Nevin.
Thanks, Nevin. Don't you want my-